Thank y'all very much. Very good song. The Old Rugged Cross was the first song I learned to play on guitar when I quit playing that other kind of music. If you would, turn in your Bibles to first chapter of Genesis. Genesis 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day and the blessings of it. And we're so thankful to live in a country where we can gather openly and worship you, Lord, and praise you and give you all the glory, Father. Lord, I just pray for you to hide me behind the cross and let your message pour forth. And Lord, I just pray for you to open our minds and our hearts to your word today and fill us with your Spirit. Lord, I pray thy will be done in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What happened? This is nowhere near the world the Lord made for us. I read the other day that we pay taxes for the benefit of living in a civilized society. I want my money back. We don't live in a civilized society much anymore. We may have some politeness and we may try to treat people well, but the world is a cesspool. The world's always been a cesspool compared to what God had in mind for us. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. I've been ruminating on that thought ever since I was led to this, for this service. God gave us everything we needed. God gave us food, a glorious place to live, and then temptation was thrown at us. And we failed. We didn't pass that test. If it was a test, I don't know if I should call it a test, but it was the serpent whose temptations, whose urgings had us thrown out of the Garden of Eden. A very good place. And I got to thinking about that. You know, In the past, I always kind of skipped over that. Not skipped over it, but never realized exactly what that meant, that everything was very good. The dirt was good. We don't like to get dirty. We get dirty, we wash up quick as we can, but the dirt was very good. The herbs, the green herbs, were very good. I'm thinking there's nothing we couldn't eat in the Garden of Eden, from the herbs and the fruits of the trees, except for that one we weren't supposed to. And I know it was very good, but it wasn't for us at that time. The animals were very good. From what I understand, they ate the herbs and the fruits of the trees also. So what happened? Men deciding they wanted to be as gods. And we're not. We're not God. Never will be God. But, thankfully, eventually we will be one with God. And what a glorious day that's going to be. And that certainly will be very good. A lot of people don't believe in God anymore. Or they don't want to believe in God anymore. I haven't talked to every unbeliever. I've never talked to every atheist. But the ones I do talk to, it seems like they don't want to believe in God because they don't want to be held accountable for their actions. Or they don't want to believe that there's somebody mightier than them, greater than them. The Bible tells us differently. If we back up to Genesis 1:1, we have, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Here's something I found out just recently, studying some Hebrew, that Bereshith is the word we use for is translated to "in the beginning." And then Elohim is God. Bara is created. By most Hebrew writings, the most important thing in a sentence is at the first. So you would think, God is the most important thing in the universe. That it should be God in the beginning created, or God created in the beginning. But that word Bereshith in Hebrew comes from a root word that means head. So that could be read at the head of all things, God. So that's the important part. God, yes, is important, but it's even more important that He is the head of all things. Now, you can use that to say "in the beginning." And I've read some scholars who try to wiggle around and say that actually should be translated "in a beginning," because God has created numerous worlds, but that's not right. It's the wrong use of the clauses there. The head, at the head of all things, God created. That's important. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it's important that God is the supreme being, Elohim. I also read where verse 26, where God says, let's create man in our own image. That's the first mention of Jesus in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus mentioned right there. But actually, if you want to be technical, the first verse mentions Jesus. Elohim. That's the plural. Not just the plural in Hebrew. Hebrew has singular, plural, and three or more. Elohim is that case. Three. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. We are made in their image. I can't live up to that. I cannot live up to the image of Elohim, the mighty God, the God of creation, the God who put the universe into order, and we end up being in this building today to worship Him, to believe on Him. Why do we get up on Sunday morning and come to church? Because we love God. Should be the reason. Because we love God. And we want to worship Him. We want to let Him know how much we love Him, because He first loved us, knowing how we would be, and created all this anyway. I'm not going to change any of the wording in the Bible, but when you read this, I can be thinking, in the beginning, God created everything that would lead to me knowing what a vile, disgusting human being I would become. Thank God, God doesn't give up on people. He didn't give up on me, and I know there's everybody in here He has not given up on. God wants to walk with us. He came and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. He wants to fellowship with us. But because of sin, He can no longer fellowship with us. Had to be a way around that. God was still going to fellowship with us. God was still going to be our Father. He was going to be our loving Creator. He is our loving Creator. There's no was to it. He is our loving Creator. At the head of all things. There's other religions. There's other sects. There's other denominations. There's unbelief, agnosticism, whatever. They don't want to believe in God, the Almighty Creator. If they won't listen to Him, they won't find Him. If they don't listen for Him, they won't find Him. If they let the noise of the world block out God's voice, they won't hear Him. And how do we hear God? Be still and know that I am God. He sent Elijah earthquake and a fire and a storm, and He wasn't in any of those. He was in that still, small voice. And that's what excites me, because there's more power in that still, small voice of God than there is in all the tumultuous noise that the world can create. God is right there, and we can listen to Him. I was going to tell a story, but I'm going to have to read it because I'm 70. And I forget things. Especially when I walk into a room and forget why I walked into the room. Somebody said it's because I saw an alien and the men in black flashed me. I forgot what I was doing. But I'll be truthful. It's really because I'm old. But I was reading a story by this deaf lady, and it really spoke to me. And I think you'll understand why. She said, I was in med school doing well. One night I was at the grocery store. I noticed a little girl pointing to an apple and gesturing to her mother. Her mother dismissively nodded and kept going. The girl shook her determined face and tapped on her mother's elbow. She was trying to tell her something that was important to her. It hit me that she was deaf. The little girl was deaf. I walked over to her and signed, "Oh, the red apple doesn't belong with the green apples." The girl instantly smiled and nodded, apple in the wrong place, the wrong bin. You're right. The mother watched this for a couple of minutes, then said, we are encouraging her to learn to talk. Signing limits her. She didn't realize I was jet deaf, just like her daughter. I told her I was going to tell her what I wish someone had told my own mother years ago. And I know her mother encouraged her not to sign, to talk. After shopping, I sat in my car for a while. I heard God's calling. It was as real as being pinched by someone. It was loud and clear. God's voice can be heard by the deaf. I dropped out of med school. I became a teacher of deaf children. A few years later, I met them again. Her mother became a sign language interpreter, and the girl, well, I met them again because she was enrolled to be my student. It's one of the circles that we make when everything we do has ripple effects. But what was interesting about that story was after that encounter and her feeling a little whatever because of the deaf child and her mother not wanting to teach her everything she needs to know. She was sitting there, she was still, she was quiet, and she heard the voice of God. It's amazing. God speaks to the deaf. Think about that for a moment. And she changed her life. And that reminded me that every encounter with God is a life-changing event. My first encounter with God was a life-changing event. 10 years old, Central Baptist Church in Corbin, Kentucky, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. But I wasn't a good child. I was a bit rebellious. I was going to join the army, and my father said, talk me out of it. He said, you don't respect authority enough to join the military. And he was right. I rebelled against God, too. He was calling me to preach as a young man. And I ran as fast. Now, I know a lot of y'all have heard this story, but it doesn't hurt to reiterate that I ran as fast and as far as I could to show God that I was not a preacher, was not preacher material, that he could just forget about me. Well, God doesn't forget. And you can't outrun God, you can't outgive God, you can't outlove God. And he stayed right there with me, and he kept on me until I realized that I needed God. I came back to this church, I joined this church, I rededicated my life, I started going to Bible college, and that all this was leading up to God calling me to preach. He was calling me to preach the whole time. I didn't realize it, didn't want to realize it, but I finally did. When Isaiah was having his vision of God, he said, who will he send? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I broke in tears because I knew God was telling me to go and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them all things that he has taught us. Now, we use that for missionaries to go and teach all nations. That means make disciples is what that means. Go and make disciples. That's for all of us. We're all supposed to make disciples. What is the job of a Christian? What is the fruit of our labor? It's baby Christians. That is our fruit. Our fruit, you might think, is tithing or love offering, whatever. Our fruit is spreading the word, spreading the gospel to increase God's kingdom. The head of all things desires us. If that doesn't make you feel special, I don't know what does. It makes me feel special, a sniveling little coward human like me, and God loves me. and wants me to be part of his heavenly host. Heavenly host to spend eternity in glory with the Father. When things once again will be very good. In my life, things are very good. Oh, I have bad days. I don't want to get out of bed and go to work. I want to leave work. I don't want to do this or that. Who says the yard has to be kept down at 2 or 3 inches high? Why can't it just grow wild? God invented it that way. But no, you got to mow that yard. I don't want to do that. But God gives us purpose. You know, actually, I kind of learned to enjoy tending the garden. That's what God had Adam doing. He was keeping the garden. And it was a lot easier than it is now because the world changed when they disobeyed God and were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. They had to eat by the sweat of their brow, which tells me it wasn't that way in the garden. They may have to pick a dead leaf off or something, I don't know. But they were keeping the garden, tending the garden. But they wanted to be as gods. They did a thing that was not very good, and it put a barrier between them and God. And that barrier we call sin, we call iniquity, but it's disobedience. It's disobedience that gets us in trouble. Eating that fruit didn't get them in trouble. It was disobeying God that got them in trouble. I was talking to an unbeliever one time, and he said, well, I'm just not going to buy all that because I really just don't believe that a man and a woman ate a fruit and they became aware. And he didn't understand that they were already aware. It wasn't eating that fruit that made them aware. It made them aware. It gave them the knowledge of good and evil. Because you can't know something is evil if you don't know the difference between good and evil. What is the difference between good and evil? For years, I thought evil was the demons in The Exorcist or any of those scary movies. All the horned Satans, the horned devils, all that. That's fantasy. It really is. In actuality, I don't know what a demon looks like. Do you really know what a demon looks like? I don't even know what the devil looks like. He's said to be a beautiful angel. I tell you what I think the devil looks like. The devil looks like anything that keeps you away from God. Anything that keeps you away from God is what he looks like. Because it's going to be something shiny, or smelly, or sounds good. It's going to make you lean that way instead of lean that way. And we all need to lean that way. And it's not hard. It's not hard to let God lead and guide and direct us because we just have to listen to him. We listen to him through reading the Bible. That's God's word of truth. God's holy word of truth. There's no contradictions. It's all the prophecy has come true. That's supposed to come true by now. We know we can trust it. So we know that God is our creator. He is the head of all things. He is the supreme. People will tell you that Allah is just another name for God. It's not. Allah was one of 365 gods that they worshipped in that area of the world. Allah had three daughters. He didn't have a son. So no, they're not the same. God, big G, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai, the many names of God. because he does so much for us. Why does God have so many names? Because he does so much for us. He's the God of peace. He's the God of banners. Well, what does that mean? Banners. When they went into battle, they carried a banner. God should be fighting our battles. Every battle that the Israelites won is because God fought that. So they call, and at right now I'm old, I can't remember the name for the God of battles, but that's one of the names of God. Jehovah battles. Do we let God fight for us? When the Israelites did, they won that battle. Now, of course, we're not in battles with an enemy army, but we are. We're in a battle constantly with the minions of the adversary. They can be spiritual. They can be fleshly. You know, humans can be Satan's minions too. Many of them are. They'll try to lead us away from God. Oh, come on, Calvin. One drink won't hurt anything. Have this nice cold beer after you've done mowing the yard. Might be all right. Might not stop there. Got all kinds of people who try to get you to do things that are against the will of God. And we should always be in mind of the will of God. What is God's will? That we love our neighbors and we love our enemies as ourselves. Tough job, I know. It's hard to love your neighbor, much less your enemy. I have a problem with that, and I let God work on me with that all the time. I try to let God shape me. Sometimes I break out of the mold, but I make that effort to let God shape me. I want to read something from Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 and 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Jeremiah writing about the captives in Babylon, letting them know that all they have to do is turn to God, and they will be carried away from their captivity. And they were. It's a good lesson for those in the Old Testament who had turned away from God. And you know, they were in captivity for 70 years because they hadn't been keeping the seventh year Sabbath. And so it ended up being 70 years for the 490 years that they hadn't been doing that. It says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. There's no difference right now today than there was in Jeremiah's time. God is there, ready to be found when you shall search for me with all your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is the yoke of Christ? That you accept Him as your Savior. What is the burden that you continue to carry His word, spread His word? Friends, family need to know about Jesus. Everyone you know needs to know about Jesus and God the Creator and the Holy Ghost who will guide and bring all things into our remembrance. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the main message today. Are you going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell? Fame won't satisfy you. Drugs won't satisfy you. Money will not satisfy you. Alcohol won't satisfy you. Success won't satisfy you. Some of the men most miserable are richer than I can even comprehend. Life is empty without Jesus. He is the only one who can satisfy your heart. The only one. Years ago, I was reading a scientific journal, and they were talking about they had found evidence in our DNA that we have DNA that lets us seek a creator, that lets us seek a God. And so there was a group of people trying to say that belief in a God is in our DNA. There's not really a God, it's just because of our DNA. Evolution has created a need for a God. God says in the Bible, He created a place in our heart for Him. There's nothing closer to our heart. And our heart doesn't mean this pumping organ right here. It means our us, our inside. What makes us, what makes Calvin Calvin, what makes Scott Scott? That's our heart. It's our DNA. God put a desire for Him in our DNA. Do you believe that? I do, because the Bible says it. And if scientists found it, well, they may or may not have. I don't trust them the way I trust God. I don't trust anybody the way I trust God. And I trust God in what He says. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? We're going to have a song of invitation. Christians are going to be praying. If there's anybody in this auditorium today who has not accepted Christ as their Savior, it's something that you need to do. Today is the day of salvation. Today. We're not guaranteed another second. I can't say for sure I'll even make it off this stage. That's how fast life can be ended. And once you're gone, that's it. That's it. God bless y'all.
Thank you, Calvin. Number 112. 112.